The Holy Gospel is written in the 9th chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, beginning with the 38th verse. "Teacher," said John, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop, because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said, "for no one who does a miracle in my name can be in the next moment say anything bad against me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. And if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter the life maimed than two hands to go to hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than it is for 2 feet and to be thrown in hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It's better that you enter the kingdom with one eye than 2 eyes be thrown in hell, where the worms eat them and do not die, and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves, and be at peace with each other." The Gospel of the Lord. That's a tough passage, isn't it? You know, it's interesting, in the Old Testament, we see that people just aren't satisfied. They want to complain. You ever seen people like that? They got all the things that God has offered them, but one of the things that they want to do is complain, right? God supplied them, God rescued them out of bondage, and yet they forgot the bondage part, and they remembered what it was like when they were there, because they could fill their bellies with better food, they thought. Moses says, "I'm just a servant of God. I can't do it all by myself. I need folks to help me out." And God still provides. And it's interesting that there were those doing God's work, and others looked at him and said, "Stop them." In the beginning of this passage, if you remember before, in this Gospel of Mark, the disciples were debating something. They were debating which disciple was the greatest. Who is going to be God's greatest out of the disciples? And when Jesus came along, they went, "We're not going to tell him. We're not going to talk about it." But he knew. And he even told them last time, if you remembered, what it meant to be like a child coming to God. And we try to remind ourselves that we need to be kind of innocent. We need to not be having all these issues of measurement and everything. We simply need to be coming to Jesus just as a child. And now we get to the point where somebody's out there casting out demons. And in this process, none of the disciples had experience doing that. And yet there's somebody who's not part of their little group out there casting out demons in Jesus' name. And John, being a spokesperson, tells Jesus, "We went to stop it." He's not part of the group, so he needs to stop. And yet Jesus tells them, which was a surprise to them, that if this one's doing it in my name, let him do it. It's okay. And so there's different things we can learn in the passage. In this part of the passage, I think we look at it and we examine what is God doing in different places in the world today. Is Ascension Lutheran Church the only place that God is working? No, he's working in other places too. And when you travel or wherever you go into a church, there's folks that love the Lord. There's folks that are preaching the gospel. There are people that are serving God. And as long as they're doing it in the name of Jesus, Jesus would say, amen, keep doing it. Keep going. And, you know, it is our responsibility to give out the gospel. It is our responsibility to live for Christ. It is our job to be a lighthouse for this area of Boynton Beach. And it has been for, what, 65 years? And we pray for until the Lord comes home. But there are others, too. And how are they doing the message? If they're doing it in the name of Jesus, he said, they're for us, they're not against us. How can it be that somebody would preach a gospel and not be for Christ? How can that be? And so as you go out into the world, you need to find places where the gospel is preached and keep your lighthouse going. And we welcome the doors for anyone that might come in to visit. And if they join us in the promotion of the gospel and living for Christ, they ought to feel welcomed and part of the body of Christ. It is funny, though, isn't it, about humans? We get to the point where we get to a little clique or a little area, and it's all about who? All about me or my group. And he says, as long as it's done in Jesus' name, they ought to be welcomed. And that was one of the welcoming things when I first came to help out with this church, when Pastor Dingle was here. And that was the first time, as he goes, that the open thing was that there was a welcoming in Christ. And as we preached the gospel, we enjoyed it together. And then for some reason, the scripture starts to change and it starts to ask us some questions. And one, we remember last week when it was talking about children, God had a place for children. He not only used it as an example of how we should come to him and how we should be dependent and reliant upon him. Now he says, it's our responsibility not to do things to stop somebody from coming to Christ. The other thing I think it's telling us too is that when there are people that are young in Christ, no matter what their physical age is, they could be coming to Christ as an older age, you need to be careful in causing a stumbling in their spiritual growth. Have you ever stumbled? When we get a little older, we stumble a little more, don't we? Then we have little aids like walkers, canes. We don't want to use them. Then we find out we stumble more. Guess what we do? We finally start to use them, right? Some of us decorate them so we can set a trend, right? See who's got the pretty one, you know, sparkles, leaves, flowers. But one of the things is if you stumble, there's different reasons to cause us to stumble. If the light's off, means it's what? Dark. You ever stumbled in the dark? I got a call one time and my mom told me my dad stumbled in the dark. Guess what he did? Broke his toes. Yeah, he did that too. He fell before too. I was telling him when he's looking at it, he's a... And I said, what'd you think of that shower curtain as he grabbed onto it and fell? But if you've ever been in the dark, you can stumble. If you ever put things in places and you moved them, you forgot that you had moved them, and you usually had a path at night and you tried to go that path and you ran into whatever you put in the way, be it a table or whatever, it caused us to stumble. And I think what he's trying to tell us there is that when we look at things, is don't put stumbling blocks of new believers, or especially children, when they want to know the things about the Lord. What is your life like? We're talking about that. We're learning that. We want to be with the Lord and in the Word. Are you living in the light? Or do you creep into the darkness? And when you fight the battle and go into the darkness, guess what happens in your spiritual life? It will cause you to stumble. You made a commitment, I'll read the Bible every day, at least once a day, and feed upon the Word. But if I decide that I don't really want to be in the Bible, I would rather be doing this or that, guess what happens? You're not in the Bible, and it won't take long. You'll stumble. People say, oh, well, I need to know how I should live. How should I live today? Well, the Bible tells me so. And if I'm not in it, it may cause me to stumble. He gives some examples, and he says, you know, it's kind of like if you looked at your life and you said if he was going to cause people to stumble, he says, first of all, if it's your hand, what should you do? Oh, man, that's pretty drastic, isn't it? I couldn't do that. Could you? I can cut my hand off. And then when you know, if you're looking at it, folks are probably thinking, who's this Jesus teaching about hurting your body? It's symbolic that, what does your hand do? Does he grab things that it shouldn't grab? Touch things that it shouldn't have? Point people in a direction they shouldn't go? Grab them by the shoulder and say, come with me and do what I'm doing, and it's not of God? What is your hand leading you to do? And he says, if that you see it happening, and I know what a son will say, it'll be just like the Old Testament. I didn't do that. I don't know why I just did that. My hand must have done it. I couldn't control it. And it was just pushing me here or there, pointing me in the wrong direction. And then that's where he would say, instead of arguing the point, well, then if that's the problem that you have, do what? Cut it off. It's better for you to cut it off instead of having the excuse, I can't live for Christ because of my hand. I can't tell others to come to church. I can't have them do godly things. I want them to do other things and lead them in a different way. He said it'd be far better for you not to have your hand. Where's your hands pointing today? Are they trusting in the Savior? That he has you? Or have you decided to do your own thing today? Or yesterday? And then he says, you know, not just your hand, your foot. You ever had a foot problem? Oh, I did, and you knew it. Your foot gets infected, you have a problem, and it causes you to hurt when it walks. But here he's saying, you know, if it's your foot, it's leading someone in that wrong path. Where are you walking today? Fortunately, this morning, most of you came to church. So you did good. You followed your feet. You came to church. And I know some got different things happening in their life, and it was difficult maybe to come to church, so thank you. Some are helping others. And one of the things you had to do was come to church today. We thank you. Your feet pointed in the right direction. But in our walk in the day of the week, are we walking in the path that God wants us to walk? And he says, if you're going to blame your foot, and if you're causing others to follow where you're walking, and it's not the right place, it would be better that you do what? Cut it off. It would be better that you be maimed and you have to hobble and hobble through the gates of heaven than it would be that you turn somebody away from living the Christian life, finding about Jesus. It would be better if it wasn't there. Where have you been walking? If somebody was to follow you through the workday, or work, you know, Monday through Saturday, where did you go? And where's there somewhere you shouldn't have been? And you know, when people look at us, we're kind of in a glass house, in a sense. Your neighbors are watching. Community's watching. What is it you're doing? Where are you? And Lord forbid that somebody, you know what? That person's a great Christian. They go to Ascension Church, and you know what? I saw them go here, and you know what? I decided that must be okay. I'm going to go there too. See, we have a bigger responsibility than simply as we accept Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. We have to be demonstrating the life that we will live in God. How are we living? And who's watching? Some of us now probably have grandchildren or great-grandchildren, and the question then is, well, you know, grandma or grandpa, they don't do this or they do that. They say it's okay, and it says, whoa, before you do that, how is that leading that person in a spiritual walk? And then he says, you know, it would be better if you are seeing things that you shouldn't be seeing, watching shows that you shouldn't watch, looking at things that people are showing you, well, look at this. And you shouldn't be looking at those things. It would be better for you to do what? Pluck the eye out. You blamed your eye. It'd be better if you plucked it out, he said. I can remember in the workplace, it was a common thing. You say the coffee place, the water hole, whatever you want to call it. And people go, oh, I need to tell you a story. Or, oh, you need to see this video. And it would have been better for me, what? Not to hear it, not to see it. You ought to use the two legs while you still have them. And what? Walk away. I don't need to see that. Put that away. You keep that for yourself. I don't need that. Do we do that? That's what it's asking for us to look at, is what are you doing in daily life? And if you're going to blame your body parts for the things that happen, then he says, you know, you can go ahead and blame it. It would be better if you didn't have them. But he's not asking you to actually do it right now. He's just simply saying, look, anything in your life that would cause someone else to stumble, to not hear the gospel, to not find the right way to live in Christ, to go and fall into the dregs of a habit of sin, far be it. You shouldn't do it. And it would be better if you're going to blame those body parts you didn't have them. You get it? We have so much responsibility, not just in our own personal life, but even as we reach out in our testimony to others. The way you are living today, would you and your Savior be happy? Are you doing the best you can in the power of Christ to live a godly testimony that when people see it, there's a thing that says, be beyond of reproach. You've heard that before? And what that means is whatever someone throws at you to try to stick at you, it doesn't stick. Because it's not true. And that's what he's asking his disciples here to say, look, we don't want anyone who's searching for God to stumble because of the way I live. And then he gets at the end of the passage, he has a third part. He says, you are salt. You know what salt is? You get the Himalayan salt? Salt, It adds what? Flavor. There you go. Adds flavor. And he says, you are believers in Christ in this community. You are salt in the community. The only reason this place, as rotten as it is, hasn't rotted and gone is because of believers in Christ Jesus. Because you're the salt. And you need to remain salty. How do I remain salty? By being in the Word. If I'm in the Word, it keeps me refreshed and I'm new. Because he said there are those, later when salt loses its flavor, what is it worth? Do you have salt on your kitchen counter or on your table and it doesn't taste like salt? What do you do to it? You keep it because you don't want to pay no more? Or do you toss it? I'm done. May the Lord not be done with us. May we remain salty. May he go ahead and use us to preserve this rotten, stinking world from continue to rot because he has the church here. They knew what it was like when he said, you know, if none of these things, your eyes, your hands, your feet, be cut off and thrown into the fire. There was a place that was like a garbage dump, and it always burned. And so they knew that basically what he is saying is that it became worthless and would just burn. But folks, there is an actual heaven and there's an actual hell. And for those who do not accept the cross and what Jesus has done for them to die on a cross for their sin, they are literally doomed for eternal punishment, a place called hell. And just as much as there is a heaven, there is a hell. What will you do today? Will you check your saltiness and see how you're doing? Do you have the flavor of Jesus Christ in your life? And do people see Jesus in your eyes and in your heart? And do you reach out to give the gospel, and instead of using your hand for the bad thing, you would take somebody by the hand and you would bring them to Jesus? When you walk your path, you would go and you would walk in the path of Jesus. And when you look for the things that you see, it would be those things from above. Looking for that day, looking for that shout. Three little messages in one passage of Scripture, but all get to the point of examining ourselves. Are we like those folks in the Old Testament? God, we ask for things. We want to get out of bondage. You get us out. You're taking care of us. You're feeding us. But you know what? We want something else. We want more. This isn't good enough. We were thinking that we would be better in back in bondage. How silly. But in some ways, that's the way people are. May you and me evaluate ourselves before a holy God and say, we want to be the salt. We want to be the flavor that people see of Jesus and be satisfied by the life that he can give. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the Son of Jesus Christ, that he loved us and he went to the cross and he took away our sin, past, present, and whatever we might do. And may you enrich each one's life here today, have a closer walk, and may others see a difference
May they walk the path that Christ would want them to walk. May they see the things and the splendors that heaven has and the love of God. And may we take them by the hand and grow to a different place, a place where they can grow in Christ. Help us, we pray, each day. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.